and king. And so all of us here are priests. Now, the priesthood I receive at ordination and Deacon Jeff at his diaconate is kind of an elevation of that priesthood, but all of us share in the common priesthood of baptism, which Christ gives to us. And there's even this great book that's called Catholic Household Blessings and Prayers that is meant specifically for like people who have the priesthood of baptism and things that you can bless and prayers that you can say. And so if you're interested, you can give that a search. Now, every blessing is based on authority. For one cannot bless something unless they have the authority to do so. So it's kind of like a police officer. Now, if I walked up to someone and said, you're under arrest, nothing would happen. And they'd maybe just chuckle at me and keep walking. But a police officer, having the authority to arrest, when he says those words, you're under arrest, they actually happen, because he has the authority to actually do that. And the same holds true for blessings. For a blessing to actually occur, the authority has to be present. And so, for example, parents, you can, and invite you to more often, can bless your children. It is a real blessing. And as a parent, you have that authority. We hear that throughout the Old Testament of parents blessing their children and bestowing that blessing upon them. It's one of the reasons why I am called father, because it's a reflection of my authority to bless everyone, even if they're not my biological children. So if that's who can bless, what does a blessing really do? And there's a lot of things a blessing does, but I'm going to stick with maybe the basic thing, and that is that a blessing does is found in this notion of setting apart. So a blessing takes something and sets it apart for a special purpose. So for example, when a medal, rosary, or some religious article is blessed, what is happening is that those things, which at first are just materials of metal, beads, ceramic, and paint, are now set apart for two particular purposes: to give glory to God and to make us holy. That every time that we pray with those rosaries, we wear that medal, we look at that painting, God is glorified by that, and because of that, we grow in holiness through those prayers and meditation. And so after a blessing, these items are no longer just things. They're now set apart for a purpose: the glorification of God and sanctification of the world. Now this becomes especially profound when we apply that to people, to us. When a person is blessed, like we do at every Mass. For when you and I are blessed, we are set apart for those two purposes: to give glory to God and make the world holy. That's such a beautiful thought, that all of us, we've been blessed at Mass before, so all of us are walking around as blessed people, blessed people. It's rare to say this, but this is something you can be proud of, that we have been set apart to give glory to God and bring just a little bit of holiness into the lives of those we encounter. All right, that is part one. Into part two. With long gospels such as today, it's kind of hard to focus on one thing. And I was even talking to someone earlier this week who had this beautiful connection between this gospel and the gospel we heard last week of the woman at the well, which both occur in the Gospel of John. And someone mentioned that in last week's gospel, we hear how Jesus is the living water, the one who, when we receive him, we do not thirst anymore. And he made this great connection about how Jesus heals the blind man with his saliva, like his water. It's this beautiful connection of how Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the life-giving water who heals and can restore things. But what I want to focus on is the healing of the blind man from the perspective of the Pharisees. Because I find their reaction to the healing of the blind man pretty crazy, actually. I mean, they spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure this all out. It's kind of like an FBI, they're like investigating through and through. Because they interview the blind man twice, then they interview his parents, and then they go and they question Jesus. And so I'm just like, you know, what's with these guys? Can't you just be happy that this man who is blind from birth can now see? And that there's something that they can't get over. And I was reminded of this on my last retreat that I was on in seminary. And it was led by a Jesuit, so 90% was heretical, but the 10% that was good, no, I'm kidding. I went to Loyola, I graduated from Loyola, my spiritual director was a Jesuit. I'm Jesuit trained. They're very near and dear to my heart, which makes me feel safe to be able to say that. But because he really was wonderful. And he said in one of his conferences something which I think captures an aspect of what the Pharisees had fallen into. And he said, "Don't become jealous and bitter because of the goodness of the world. Don't become jealous and bitter because of the goodness of the world." We see the Pharisees and ourselves, we struggle with this. We see something good that has happened to someone else. They are healed. They received a raise. They have gifts and talents one can be proud of. In short, they have goodness that has been bestowed on them, or they have it within them. And for some reason, we just can't stand it. Because why wasn't I healed? Why didn't I catch that lucky break? I've been able to see this whole time. So what makes him so special? And so like the Pharisee, we try and we chip away at that goodness. That person is a sinner. They do not deserve what they have. In fact, they're wasting it. If I had what they had, I would use it so much better. They probably even cheated the system to get it. For there's no way they could have what they have without luck or cheating. In fact, where are his parents? Because his parents will know his past. And so there must be something he is hiding. We need to find it and expose it. And it's so sad because, like the Pharisees, we waste so much time and energy being jealous and bitter of the goodness of the world, that we miss the miracle. The blind can see. The sinner can change. Who cares who it happened to? None of us deserve such goodness. That's why it's a miracle. And instead of rejoicing, we spend six times the gospel, it's six times the length in the text that the Pharisees spend versus how long it took Jesus to heal the man. Six times. And sometimes we spend six times the time and energy being jealous and bitter, all because we cannot see the goodness of the world. Makes one wonder who really is the blind one.